It's such a privilege to be here tonight. I want to give honor first to Pastor Bernard and First Lady for their tremendous leadership and believing in this next generation. I want to also give honor to, I don't know where they are, but Kento and Bianca and the Gibbs for their leadership. And I want to give special honor to all of you guys, most importantly right now, because, you know, for us transitioning from one place of life to another, and coming to this church, you guys have been so loving. You guys have treated us so well, and you guys made us feel like we've been here our whole life. And I want to thank you guys so much for, I can't think of one bad word or one thing to say. You guys are a wonderful church, and I'm so blessed. And most importantly, I want to give honor to my wife, my beautiful wife, and my little baby girl. She's staring at me. Yeah, she's definitely stolen the show, so I better start. Amen. Kind of what we've been talking about these past 3 weeks is the very basics of what we believe, and I would even consider it apologetics. What apologetics is, for anyone who doesn't know, that means the defending of the faith. And I think that's important, especially with all these new doctrines that come out, with all these different things that people are saying. It's important to defend what you believe. And now we don't just study to defend faith, but we are taught and we study to strengthen our foundation. Because without a firm foundation, you're going to crumble. And humanity is frail and weak in comparison to the Word of God, which has stood the test of time. It has stood scrutiny and winds of other doctrines. It has been proven as truth. And without a doubt in my mind, if you follow this word, if you hold it close to your heart, you will live a more fulfilling life. You will live a greater life than this world could ever offer you. You will live a life that is blessed if we can pursue everything inside of our mind and our spirit after this word. Amen. I'm kind of carrying off. We're going to start with water baptism. I know that Pastor had printed out some copies, and I'm sure everyone got it. So water baptism, to start, water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is one of the clearest doctrines within scriptures and essential to the New Testament church. We are the New Testament church. It is essential. It is a part of what we believe, and it is required for salvation. The Greek word baptizo means to immerse, to cover wholly with fluid, emphasizing in this passage or in this section of water baptism, it's the full immersion. It isn't just Christians who believe in baptism. And sometimes I know that we can feel as apostolics that we're on this isolated land and that we do things that nobody else does. But baptism isn't just an apostolic thing, but there are other religions that believe in the importance of baptism. You have the Catholics, they believe in baptism. They have a strong emphasis of baptism. We can look at the Eastern Orthodox and the Protestants and the Lutherans and the Methodists and the Presbyterians and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Yes, the ones that knock on your door, those ones, they believe in baptism. And all these other religions see such an importance on baptism. But to clarify, though these other religions may not believe in full immersion, there is an understanding that there is an importance to it. And they understand it's all about the cleansing. Amen. If you have your Bible, this will kind of be the first scripture I'll use to kind of spearhead into it. You can stand for the reading of the word, or you can remain seated. John chapter 3, verse 23. I'm sorry, I don't know. Media team's on top of it. Amen. And John was also baptizing in Anan near Salem, because there was much water there, and they became and were baptized. And that's the only verse for now. You guys can be seated. In this passage found in John, we see that the writer included the fact that there was much water. It is interesting to see, at least when I read it, that someone would ask that there would be much water. And I believe if there was such an adamant like hunger and desire for there to be much water, that, I mean, it wouldn't make sense that a sprinkling would be enough. I think there was an understanding that the writer was trying to get to us, trying to say, listen, there's got to be a lot of water, because not only am I going to baptize somebody else, but I'm going to be in the water as well. And so here it's kind of I believe there is an understanding across the board that there would needed to be much water in order to complete a biblical baptism. And we can look, and I have many verses, but I just want you guys to kind of focus in that. In Acts 8:38, the Bible says, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Acts 8:39, and it continues from 38. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip." Romans 6:4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death." 6:5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." There are so many verses pointing to the fact that sprinkling is not enough for baptism. Simply just declaring and believing is not enough, but true believing in God is following the biblical steps that he has given us to require for salvation. And being baptized means you are fully submerged underwater. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. I was in Arizona, and there was a young person that I was ministering to and kind of just, you know, talking to him about baptism. And we went up to the baptism, the tank, and, you know, it's not like this where you get in the water and you do it, but it's you kind of lean over, and I baptized him, but this, like, front part of his head didn't go all the way under the water. So when he came out, I told him, you know, "You're going to go to heaven, but just this front part is not going to be there." I had to apologize. I just thought it was the funniest thing, but we ended up rebaptizing him, but... You can, you know, you may go, but the front part may be gone. Amen. And the role of baptism is of the remission of sins. That's why we get baptized in Jesus' name, not just to do it, but there's a purpose, there's a formula, there's a reason we are immersed in water. And what's the purpose of this immersion of baptism? It's because there is a remission of sins. There is a spiritual death that takes place when you go under the water. And John the Baptist preached baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And Jesus affirmed this in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, stating that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. And I believe Pastor had mentioned it before, I believe it was last Wednesday night, that it is such a privilege that we can go to God and we can have a remission of sins and we can ask for forgiveness. And it's not something he is obligated to do for us, but it's something that we are blessed with because he loves us, because he wants to make a way for you and your family and for your children to come. And I'm thankful that I have the Spirit of God within me, and his word that I read, it brings conviction and it brings direction. And we're not just out here guessing on our salvation, but there is a truth, and the truth is this word. Amen. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached the same message. Repent. It's our favorite verse as the apostolic church. We love this verse. If there's no other verse in the Bible that we know, it's definitely Acts 2:38. And just in case you don't know what it says, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every single one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And Paul's conversion included the baptism. "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And the name of the Lord is Jesus. It's Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, Paul says, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified." The word "wash" points to the cleansing power of baptism. Romans 6, 3 through 4, and I know this is a lot of scripture. "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? We were baptized into his death. Even so, we also should walk in a newness of life." When you are baptized in Jesus' name, there is a cleansing that happens. You are no longer the same person as you went down, and it may be hard for people to comprehend that, but when you go down in baptism, you're no longer the same. The labels that you had before are buried along in that water. The labels of your family, the labels of your past, the things that you come from have been changed, and I'm so thankful that I have the ability to follow a formula that can lead me to salvation. For as many of you as have been baptized in Christ, you have put on Christ. Only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad, let me just add this, that I'm so glad that when I was baptized in Jesus' name, that I didn't have to carry on the heritage of my father, because the heritage of my father included drugs. The heritage of my father included violence, included gang violence, included this crazy life. I'm so thankful that I have the ability to no longer be bound by sin or what sin is going to put onto my family, but I have the ability through the remission of sins, through the baptism in Jesus' name, to walk in liberty, to no longer walk as my family has walked before, to not be bound to the labels of the past, but to walk with what? As a new creation in Christ Jesus. And maybe you're in this place, or maybe you're watching online. If you're a guest in this place, I want to let you know that when you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're not coming out of the water the same. You're going to act different. You're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. Why? Because you are created as a new person. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful that I have this. I'm thankful that I know this truth and that it has never failed. And as we move on, we can look in 1 Corinthians chapters 1, verses 1 through 17. And I want to be diligent with my time. For Christ sent me to not baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, let the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul was not preaching against baptism. He was saying that he had not baptized any of them lest they accuse him of trying to baptize in his own name. Paul understood that his name could not save nobody. There is no other name that can save anybody except the name of Jesus. Why did God choose baptism? It symbolizes death. A person will die quickly after being immersed spiritually. Unless you're under the water for too long. It is a universal symbol of washing to remove dirt. It symbolizes life. No type of life form that we can see can survive without water. Acts 1 verse 5 and then 2 through 4. This is the Spirit baptism. And this is the Holy Spirit. We can see that God is holy because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. One spirit of God. There is one body. There is one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, but ye are not in the flesh, but the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. The reason, the very reason for the various titles for the Spirit of God is to emphasize the holiness of God along with the spiritual nature of it. The only way God can impart his holy nature into a man is in the spirit form. Amen. The experience is what the Bible refers to as the baptism. I just like to say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the birth of the Spirit. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just one person. It wasn't just one person that was like, you know what? Maybe this gift wasn't for me. But no, God poured out his Spirit so that each and every one of you can have the Spirit of God living inside of you. I'm so thankful that I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. Why? Because there's going to be times in your life where you're going to have to depend on the Spirit. You're going to have questions. You're going to have things you don't know where to turn to. But you can rely on the Spirit of God in prayer. You can rely on the Spirit of God to give you direction, to give you hope, to give you confidence, and to give you power. That's why there's power when you lay your hands on people. It's nothing that we can do, but there's an understanding that there is a power that's living in you. There's a power that when you lay on the hands, it's no longer a man-made miracle, but it's Jesus flowing through you. That's why it's important to understand that we as the people of God do not walk around with our head down when we go to our work. You're not a downtrodden people. We are a victorious people. You have power in your voice. You have power where you go. You're the strongest individual wherever that your feet may go. You have the power of God living in you when you go to a school where they're teaching things that are not of God, that are not biblical truth. You have the power of God in the Starbucks drive-thru when you need help. You have the power of God resting inside of you. You don't have to depend on yourself and the wisdom of man because it will fail. It will fail. And I believe there are times where we will depend so much on man-made things and ourselves that God will put you in a situation where you have to depend on His Spirit, where you have to depend on the leading of the Holy Ghost. Baptism means to immerse, like dipping a vessel into water. It's surrounded and filled, so it is with the Spirit. God doesn't just come upon a person, but He fills them with His very nature. I want you guys to understand that when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the nature of God living inside of you. That's what gives you the ability to forgive people you thought you would never forgive. That's what gives you the ability to overcome a situation you thought there was no hope in your marriage. You thought there was no hope for the prodigal child, but there's a nature in God. There's a nature of God living inside of you that gives you faith, that gives you confidence, not in yourself, but in the God that you serve. I'm so thankful that I have the Spirit of God living inside of me. I'm so thankful that I don't have to depend on my own wisdom, which I know will fail. I'm so thankful that God just didn't leave us out to dry and give us some type of you know what, figure it for yourself. But He says, repent and be baptized, every single one of you, not just one person, but all of you. If you're a guest in this place, it doesn't have to be on a Sunday that you get baptized. It can be on a Monday night prayer. It could be a midweek Bible study. It doesn't matter. Let me also say, you are not bound to receive the Holy Ghost in a church. You're not bound to receive the Holy Ghost just in a sanctuary. But let me just say this, that when my mother first got into the church, she had been praying for the gift of the Holy Ghost. She had been praying and seeking it, and it seemed like she didn't get it right away. But there was a night where she began to dig in this word and begin to follow the truth that the Bible says and the promises that it gives. And she was filled with the Holy Ghost in a house, in a home. I challenge someone in this place or maybe watching online, if you have been seeking the Holy Ghost, if you have been seeking the infilling of the Spirit of God, I challenge you to ask for it. Ask for it in your home. Ask for it in your car. And I believe if you have enough faith, God can fill you with the Holy Ghost wherever you may be. And this kind of leads me into the next section, is speaking in tongues. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the initial sign is speaking in other tongues. Speaking in tongues is the initial outward evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost. It's not a learned behavior. It's not an emotional outburst, but a supernatural sign as the Spirit gives the utterance. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and what? Began to speak with other tongues. Acts chapter 10, 45 through 46, Cornelius and his household spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost fell. Acts chapter 19 verse 6, the Ephesians spoke with tongues and prophesied. Acts 8, 17 through 18, something visible happened to the Samaritans received the Holy Ghost, likely tongues. It was tongues. As Simon saw it, and he was amazed. In Paul, we can see the importance of speaking in other tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and 18, that I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. I don't know if Paul struggled with a little bit of pride, but he was basically saying, I speak in tongues more than all of you. But he was emphasizing the importance of speaking in other tongues. The Old Testament prophesies about it in Isaiah chapter 28, 11 through 12. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To this people. Acts chapter 2, 16 says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. The outpouring of the Spirit of God, speaking in other tongues, the real languages, earthly or heavenly. We can see this in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And these are extra scriptures that if you guys want to take your time, you can look at that. Acts chapter 2 through 5 and 8. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speaking in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are these not them which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Let me kind of break that down. It would be like if we went to a foreign country that had never had an encounter with the English dialect or American people, and they began to, the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they began to speak in tongues, and they were speaking English. And that's actually true. I have heard many stories, accounts of missionaries who have gone overseas, and as the Spirit of God began to fall, they began to speak in the native language. That's a powerful thing. It's a sign to the unbeliever in Mark 16 and 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Baptism, full immersion, has to be full immersion. Remission of sin, that's what baptism does for us. Jesus is already perfect, but he gives us that opportunity to wash us clean. And then the Spirit of God will fill you, and you will know that the Spirit of God is living inside of you. How? Because you will be speaking in another language. It will be a language that is not man-made. It will be a heavenly language. Amen. You guys can all stand. In every clear instance of someone receiving the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues followed. That's what the apostles expected. Tongues are not the goal, the Holy Ghost is, but tongues are the consistent biblical evidence of that infilling happening. And just because this is the way I think, and I like to reemphasize kind of what we learn, baptism in Jesus' name, Jesus is God, there's no Father, Son, Holy Ghost, he makes up all of those. Jesus is God. Baptized in Jesus' name under full immersion of water. Sprinkling is not going to cut it. Full immersion. And if you've been sprinkled, I got good news for you and I got bad news. The good news is you can be rebaptized in Jesus' name. The bad news is you biblically got baptized wrong. But you know what? That's all right. Amen. And then when you are baptized, there is a promise. There is a gift. It's a gift that God desires to give each and every person in this room. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive that gift, there is no doubt in my mind, if you hunger and thirst, that you will speak in other tongues. And as we leave this place, I want you guys to pray for yourself. And I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I want you to pray for yourself and understand that what you believe is true. If what the Bible says is true, then you would be preaching it to every single... You guys have the answer. You guys have the answer. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed that you speak in other tongues in your car. You don't have to be ashamed that you're baptized in Jesus' name. You don't have to be ashamed that people may laugh at you because you do things a certain way or you don't go certain places. But my Bible will defend me. The Word of God will defend me. And some of you say that God preaches love and Jesus came down to the earth and he preached love and Jesus encapsulates love. But he also came with the word. It also cut. It also convicted. And I pray that the word of God would convict someone in this place or online. And I pray that God would lead you with the love of God, reaching for someone maybe that hears this. Maybe it's one of your family members. You don't know what to do. You have a word. You have a handout that has been given to us. And you can preach what the Bible says to them, and they will receive the Holy Ghost. You have to believe what this word says, that as you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, everything this word says is going to come to pass. If you need the Holy Ghost and you're in this place, I invite you to come to the front, and we're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to have the Holy Ghost before you leave this place. If you haven't been baptized, tonight's the perfect night. You can be baptized, full immersion in Jesus' name, and you can have a new life. Amen. If we could all lift our hands, I'm going to say a closing prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful, God, that you have given us a formula of salvation, God. That you died on Calvary for our sins, Jesus. That you shed your blood for us. And God, you didn't leave us out to dry, Jesus, but you gave us a formula of victory. You gave us a formula, God, to overcome the wages of sin, Lord. You gave us the ability to be baptized, Jesus. You gave us the ability, Lord, to be filled with your Spirit, God. And I pray, Jesus, that as we leave this place and as we go out into our jobs and to our schools, Lord, that we would walk with boldness, Lord, that we would walk with confidence, Jesus, not in ourselves, but in the power that resides within, Lord. I plead the blood over this congregation, God. I pray faith would rise in their spirits, Lord, and in their homes, God. I pray, Jesus, that as we go about the remainder of this week, Lord, that God, as we go to the experience, Lord, as we go to these different events coming up, Jesus, that we would preach the gospel, that, Jesus, we would preach the importance of baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that revival, God, would continue to flow into this church. Amen. Everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be dismissed.